the impact of West Indies players in the UK, especially on the Lancashire cricket leagues over the last 90 years. The programme features interviews with Sir Viv Richards, Sir Wes Hall and David Bumble Loy. And we can talk to the programme's producer now, Stuart Pollitt. Good afternoon, Stuart.
Hi, Simon.
Hello. Why did you decide to make this programme?
Well, I work in that part of the world for BBC Northwest Tonight, and I kept stumbling across these stories of when you go to towns like Burnley and Accrington and places like that, where they tell us about the days of these great players coming to play in their towns and their villages. Almost every cricket club in that area has a great story of how, you know, a world-famous player played with them for a season or two seasons, and the impact that they had, and the memories that and friendships that were forged, in some cases, which still last 60 years on.
It's amazing the sort of West Indian names over the years who featured in the leagues.
It's astonishing, yeah. I mean, the Lancashire League in particular has a virtual who's who of West Indian cricket, starting with Leary Constantine, who was the first Caribbean player to play in the league in the late 1920s, and it goes through virtually all the great players, George Headley, Wes Hall, Everton Weeks, Frank Worrell, you know, right through to Michael Holding, Andy Roberts, Viv Richards. It's astonishing, really. I mean, each era from the 30s through to perhaps, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, you had the very best West Indian players there for a season or two or three.
How did the involvement start?
One man really was responsible. That was Leary Constantine. Nelson Cricket Club in East Lancashire had seen him playing for the West Indies in 1928 and decided they'd make him an offer to come and play as their professional, which was something of a gamble, not in cricketing terms, but in terms of, you know, in that part of the world, it was, most people had never seen a black face before, and so to, you know, to attract someone like Constantine to come and play cricket there was quite a gamble in many ways. Nelson were heavily in debt at the time, and they paid Constantine a king's ransom to come. In fact, during his spell at Nelson, he was the highest paid sportsman in the country, ahead of all footballers, boxers, jockeys, which is quite amazing when you think he's playing, you know, league cricket and getting paid a small fortune. But the crowds came, and he used to attract thousands and thousands of people who travelled from miles around to come and watch him play. And that kind of started the trend of West Indian players to come. They'd seen him make a success of it and earn good money doing so, and he'd gone some way to breaking down the barriers which existed at that time, you know, when people in small mill towns were confronted by a black face living with them, and he inspired the others, and that's kind of led on all through for probably the following 50 or 60 years in having a link between the West Indies and East Lancashire.
You look at the changing attitudes over the 90 years. I mean, how welcome were the West Indian players?
When Constantine first came, he almost left after a season. Such was the reaction. It was a mixture of reticence, perhaps, but also racism. His daughter, who we interviewed for the documentary, she's now 89 years old and lives back in Trinidad. We spoke to her, and she said her parents found it very difficult at first because people would ignore them, cross the road to avoid them. But also there was something of a curiosity. We spoke to another old lady in the town who's now well into her 90s, and she remembers as children queuing up to peep inside the Constantine's windows in Nelson, you know, to watch them. Such was the sort of bizarre nature for people in that town of seeing a black face living with them, not just coming to visit, but living there. But it changed after the first couple of years, and Constantine adapted to the town and they adapted to him, and the family ended up staying there for 20 years, and he became eventually Lord Constantine of Nelson, and which gives you some way to showing the impact. And that really paved the way. So by the time we got to the sort of 50s and 60s, these players were welcomed, and they were celebrities and stars within the towns and villages. But it was still a culture shock for some of them. We spoke in the programme to Sir Wes Hall, and here if we've got a clip, I think, of him where we can play, and he describes how important Accrington was to him and what it was like for him arriving in the town.
Accrington was the defining moment in my life. I am away from home. I have to live with people who are strangers. I have to perform. And I have to be the type of person that people would love to be around. It was the first time that I had ever lived for 6 months with people other than West Indians. I was like a fly in a coconut ice cream. Yeah, but very, very noticeable. I mean, first time I ever heard out, and I learned the language, and within 2 or 3 months, I was the greatest fish and chip eater in Lancashire. And I was very grateful, you know, that they were so good to me.
That's Sir Wes Hall. What sort of impact did they have on the field? Did they perform?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you can imagine that these are the greatest players in the world, and they're performing with local amateurs, you know, with butchers and bakers and factory workers who are doing a job during the week, and then are suddenly faced with Wes Hall in the opposition side or Charlie Griffith or something like that, and, you know, on the batting side, Everton Week, so I think averaged virtually 90 to 100 throughout his seasons in the Lancashire League. Of the players that have made, statistically, you can kind of sum up the impact with Charlie Griffith. He holds the Lancashire League record for bowling. He took 144 wickets bowling for Burnley in 1964, an average of 5. And that sums up how destructive some of these guys were in the league. They more than held their own. But there is the odd tale as you go around where an amateur has got the better of one of these guys. Those stories are quite rare. Normally the professional sort of did the business, if you like. And that was important for them because they wanted the contract for the following season. And, you know, in some cases, I think Everton Weeks had 5 or 6 seasons playing for Baker. Wes Hall had 3 at Accrington. It was in the interest of these professionals to do a good job, and then therefore they would stay and forge these links and earn what was good money.
And of course, Viv played in the Lancashire League as well.
Yeah, I mean, he was sort of, if you like, the last hurrah, really, of the great professional in the league. It was a huge coup for Rishton to sign him in 1987 when, you know, Richards was at his absolute peak. I think the nearest most people around Lancashire had got to him previously was when he smashed that 189 not out at Old Trafford in a one-day international. So to have him a few years later in the league playing for Rishton was extraordinary. He landed famously by helicopter on the outfield to make his debut in front of the world's media. But Viv, although at that time was unquestionably the most famous cricketer in the world, he immersed himself fully into Lancashire life, and he really developed an affinity with the village of Rishton, which still exists today. And he did, as you say, get really stuck into Lancashire life, as we can hear now.
I found out about another cuisine that you had in that part of the world, mushy peas and pie. Felt a little foul, looked a little foul at the time, but at the end of the day, I'm Lancastrian. I'm an honorary Lancastrian at that particular time, so I'm going to let it work.
Well, that's severe. Did you have a chance to speak to the players that played against them? I mean, what must that have been like to turn up on a Saturday morning and think, oh, we're going to be bowling to Viv this afternoon or facing some of the great fast bowlers?
Yeah, certainly we spoke to lots of the amateurs of the era, especially those that had to face the fast bowlers in the 60s, because at that time you had Hall and Griffith in the league, you had Chester Watson also playing, Roy Gilchrist, another West Indian fast bowler. So you had, and there was, the batsman admitted to me, plenty of fear around, you know, in an era before helmets, before thigh guards in a lot of cases, chest guards, no arm guards, anything like that, on uncovered pitches as well. It was quite a terrifying prospect for these amateurs, certainly on the batting side of things. And as for the bowlers, it was a trace of doing their best to contain these players. And occasionally, if you could nip one out, then you could dine out on that story for the rest of your career.
Absolutely. Just one final. I mean, have you got footage of them playing in Lancashire League games?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've got footage. There's lots of footage of Leary Constantine playing back in the 1930s. There's footage of Viv Richards playing in the 80s at Rishton. A lot of it's sort of that we've uncovered the footage because most of it was filmed by an enthusiastic player on the opposing side. You know, most of it is amateur footage. It wasn't a case of television crews like the BBC being around for these games. But you know, there is footage of Everton Weeks playing in the 50s as well. So yeah, all of that is in the programme. There's some wonderful archive which really shows quite how popular the games were. I mean, there's images of crowds in the 5,000, 10,000 packed into small grounds to watch these guys.
And is there still West Indian involvement? Are the players still going to play in the Lancashire Leagues?
It's a rarity nowadays. There is the odd, but not in the Lancashire League at the moment, there is the odd West Indian professional across the county of Lancashire, but it's very much a rarity these days. There were a few sort of in the mid to late 90s, the likes of Roger Harper, Keith Arthurton played. But since then, the league has declined in terms of the money available to pay a good professional, but also, as we know, the depth of talent in Caribbean cricket has declined as well. So it's very much South Africans are in favour these days. The majority of the 14 clubs in the Lancashire League now have a South African professional for reasons that there are so many available good players, and also it's cost effective for those clubs.
And just to remind us finally, Stuart, when is the programme on?
Yeah, well, it'll be on BBC 4 on a week on Monday. That's Monday the 2nd of October at 7:30. And it'll be across the BBC News channel. There's four or five showings on the preceding weekend. So that's next weekend.
Brilliant. Thanks very much indeed. That's Stuart Pollitt, who's the programme producer for Race and Pace. A look at West Indian involvement, all those great players who played in the Lancashire Leagues over the years. It's the interval here.